Last night, the Phoenix Suns drafting 10th overall.
With the 10th pick in the 2020 NBA draft, the Phoenix Suns select Jalen Smith from the University of Maryland.
Jalen Smith, power forward slash center, Maryland.
At 6'10", Smith is comfortable taking a dribble or two to get to the basket and will fulfill a team's needs as a rim runner and finisher around the rim. The bonus offensively is his three-point shot at 37% last season. The biggest question, though, is his defense. While Smith is a sound shot blocker, his ability to anchor a defense and handle perimeter duties on ball screens is going to be a key swing skill.
First of all, I really like what Sarah said about Jalen Smith, because Jalen is one where, if we're just talking block to block, I think he does a good job. Mm-hmm. I think he does a good job. I wish he was stronger, because a big-bodied adult man can move him out of the post. College kids, not very much.
He's really, really thin at 225 pounds,
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Sticks is his nickname.
And he does a good job of reading and attacking guard. Should I leave my guy and come over and help? Should I stay with my guy? He does those things well. I don't think he's good at all at coming out and being able to guard on the perimeter. So I thought this team needed a 3-and-D wing. I would have loved to have seen somebody like that, like Vassar or Bay, or I loved Halliburton. But I understand this guy fits.
Yeah.
I mean, especially if you're losing Aaron Baines. And I'm wondering how much Baines had to do with any of this. If he was staying, would you have done this? If you didn't have a chance to draft Jalen Smith, would you make an effort to keep Aaron Baines? I'm wondering, what does this say at all about what they like about Aaron Baines and what they don't like?
Yeah, you know, for me, based on it, when I heard that they had drafted Jalen Smith, I thought of three things immediately. Number one, we got Chris Paul. Number two, Aaron Baines will not be returning. Number three, remember Cam Johnson. Was in that order right there, for the most part. That's what I thought. We got Chris Paul! And that just trumps everything for the most part. Aaron Baines will not be returning. And Cam Johnson. You have to remember Cam Johnson from a year ago. The Suns and James Jones drafted Cam Johnson at number 11 overall last year. And, boy, that pick got roundly poo-pooed by many people.
Yeah, absolutely. So the general manager of the Phoenix Suns is on the Coulter Automotive Group sports line right now as James Jones is called in to talk about his pick, talk a little bit about CP3, talk about where the franchise is going. James, good morning. Thanks for coming on with us. How's your last 24 hours been?
It's been good. Thank you guys for having me.
No problem.
We've just been getting ready for, you know, free agency now. So it's been good. It's been a good week.
Why? Why is Jalen Smith a member of the Phoenix Suns? What do you like?
Like I said last night, I like his size, his shooting ability. You know, I like his tenacity, his ability to run the floor, to defend. I think he gives us expands our front court rotation a little bit with his ability to shoot, his ability to block shots, alter shots, and he just plays with an edge. You know, he plays hard every possession. He gets us often. He'll get us extra possessions, hit the offensive glass. You know, he can be a lob threat for Chris along with DeAndre. You know, so I thought he offered he has multiple skills that I think would translate well at this level.
James, would you say it was more of a fit with your team as opposed to the talent, the raw talent of Jalen Smith?
It's always about fit for us. You know, it's never just purely about talent. You know, talent, you cultivate talent, you build, you mold, you shape talent until you find the fit that you're looking for. And this team, the way we're constructed, you know, the way we play, we tend towards fit. And if that means taking a guy that no one thinks should be taken at a slot, you know, we live with that. Because we know our ultimate goal is to build the best team.
We're talking to James Jones, general manager, Phoenix Suns. James, that's kind of an outside-the-box thinking, and I'm wondering, where did you develop this? This is from a media guy looking at it. It appears that you're not in love with the idea of drafting a guy who has a high ceiling but isn't even remotely there, that is not going to really contribute early in his career and developing him. You want to know, I want a guy that's going to come right in and do something quickly. Am I right on that? Are you kind of changing the mold of being a general manager that way?
No, I'm not. I mean, I think it's just, there's just a different approach. You can take two approaches where, you know, you view the NBA as a developmental league, or you can take the approach that, you know, this is a league where you want players' skill sets to mature. And the timeline for us has always been and will always remain, you know, as, I won't say now, but we definitely want our guys to be able to contribute right away. The only way as a player to improve is to play games, to get minutes. And you're either gifted those minutes or you take them. And if you have to wait for guys, if you have to give them opportunities so that they can develop, so eventually you can see what they're about, sometimes you'll lose credibility within your team, because every guy on this team, you know, all these guys in the NBA, this is their livelihood. So they're coming in every day saying, I don't have time to wait. You know, it's about winning. So if we're not winning, you're losing. And if you're losing, you usually find yourself out of this league pretty quickly.
It sounds like to me you have zero fear if, let's for an example, Bay ends up better than Jalen Smith. Halliburton ends up better than Jalen Smith. Vassar ends up better than Jalen Smith. It's almost like, if I'm reading you right, this is the guy that fits right now, and I, you know, if somebody else does well somewhere else, so be it. Is that, am I on to that?
My job is not to worry about who becomes a better player for another franchise. You know, it's, you know, this league, if you look at the history of the draft, if you just look at the history of the NBA, there will always be players that have better numbers. You know, that if you take it in isolation and say player for player, this guy is a better player. For us, it's who has a better impact on our team, you know, who gets us closer to where we want to go. And so it's not a knock on any other player or any other process or any other viewpoint on the matter. It's just, you know, when we sit in our offices, when we sit in those rooms and we try to figure out what's the best path forward, how do we build the best team to capitalize on the moment, you know, we come out of there with a different perspective than people who are on the outside. And that's okay. You know, it should be that way.
James, this is fascinating stuff to me. It really is. Is this the dogma, the philosophy you used for Cam Johnson last year?
Yeah, it was. You know, we value shooting. You know, we value guys that compete. We value guys that have no ego and all about, you know, sacrificing and doing whatever the team needs them to do to win. And, you know, they're, you know, we like guys that have an identity and understand who they are. And, make no apologies for being who they are. And Cam last year was a player who we held in high regard because of his ability to shoot, because he demonstrated, you know, extreme perseverance, you know, fighting through the multiple setbacks. And, you know, so he exhibited a bunch of mental toughness, and that's something that's required in this situation. You know, we're a franchise that's building, and we have a bunch of young guys that are trying to figure out how to be NBA players and how to play with expectations and how to play and perform under pressure. And so the mental capability and capacity of our guys plays a huge role in how we value them.
With this philosophy, James, you have an ability to take advantage of it if you choose to, in the sense that if you are continually valuing guys that other people don't see the same level of value that you do, man, do you have golden opportunities to trade down, to get guys. And you did it last year with Cam. You traded down a little bit. Did you try to trade down with Jalen Smith? Did you try to get him at 12, 14, 15, maybe somebody else that was in love with a Vassar or a Halliburton?
Well, it's impossible to determine or try to predict what other teams will do. When you go into the draft, you're always thinking, you know, how can you maximize value? However, you have to be conscious that very rarely will you find opponents that are willing to help you improve your team. And so you have to strike the balance between trying to figure out how far you can drop back to get your guy, or, you know, putting your faith in someone else and having them pull out at the last moment. You know, so our philosophy has been and will continue to be, you know, if we can get our guy, we'll get our guy whenever we can. And so last night we took Jalen because, you know, that was a risk that wasn't worth taking.
I'm wondering, there's a lot of people in their criticisms of Jalen Smith say he cannot handle wing defense. He can't handle a three or a four who's more of a spread four. Do you either totally reject that idea, or are you more of, hey, I can put Jalen on the block and maybe DeAndre starts going out a little bit more? How do you see both Jalen and DeAndre on the court defensively?
They both have room to improve. You know, it's, you know, Jalen, you know, teams will, he may struggle a little bit guarding threes and some fours, but I also would contend that those threes and fours will struggle to guard him. And, you know, so it's, there's no perfect solution. We know that the power forward position in the NBA is a hybrid position. It's extremely difficult to find a unicorn. You know, you're talking about, if you find that guy, he's a max player in the NBA. There just aren't that many of those guys. And so you just have to pick your strategy. I think him and DeAndre, you know, with his ability to pick and pop, he can play with DeAndre. With DeAndre's ability to roll and collapse the defense, he can play with DeAndre. I think he can play with Dario. You know, he can play with Cam. And so we look at our front court rotation as a foundation for us. You know, our point guard and shooting guard are two of the best in the league. They're going to carry a heavy load, but we must be sure that we have big guys, forwards and centers that can anchor our defense and protect them at all times.
James, did you talk to Devin Booker before you contacted anybody in regard to Chris Paul and the Chris Paul trade?
Oh, we talk often, but Devin, you know, Devin has trust in myself and Monty and Robert. He knows that, you know, the moves that we make fit our culture. And if we can do something that will improve the team and do it in a real meaningful way, we will. And so he's been engaged, you know, like a lot of players, but unlike a lot of them, he just loves to hoop, you know, he wants us to continue to add guys that love to be in the gym, guys that he can play with. And so he's excited. We're all excited about the additions we made this week.
James, with your playing tenure and the champions that you've been on, I'm sure you've been with stars that said, any trade goes through me. and you got to get the GM had to get approval. And then there's been guys like, hey, you know, there's been GMs, I'm not talking to you about what I'm doing. I don't want it out there. How is your relationship there with Devin? Do you get approval for a Chris Paul trade? Do you just, hey, we're looking at this? Do you tell him after the fact? What is your timeline, or what kind of person is Devin in a GM relationship?
Man, I mean, like I said before, Devin's all in with the team, you know, and I would never put a player in a position where, you know, they feel that it's their responsibility. They have to sign off on a move or a trade. Always value the input, but the only person that I have to get approval from is Robert, and that's my job. You know, it's tough when you put players in situations like that. You know, people would love to say, you know, are like everything goes to a player. The players don't want that. The players just want to be informed because they love the team. They're invested in the team more than anyone. And so out of courtesy and respect, you have these basketball dialogues because ultimately you're putting together a team of players that need to play together. And so if they have to play together, they just want to know who they're playing with.
What is Chris Paul going to bring to this team?
What he's brought to every team, you know, every situation that you find him in. You know, he's a guy that's not going to back down. He'll be out front. He's going to lead his team in action verbally. You know, he's a little feisty. We all know that. You know, he likes getting teed up a lot. He can talk smack and trash with the best of them, but he's pure basketball, man. He's a winner. And the only thing that matters to him is winning for as long as possible. And so his mentality, his approach to the game, being the first one in, the last one out, making sure that, you know, he's the last one off the court when you have teammates that are going through things on the floor, when guys are struggling, being the first one to pick them up. That's going to help us tremendously because those lessons, that approach, if that can trickle down to the rest of our guys, as you know, we have a nice young core. If these guys can start to learn what it means to be an elite pro and what it takes to win, I think we'll be winning for a long time.
James Jones, general manager, Phoenix Suns, joining Doug and Wolf. James, almost to a man, everybody in this town is so elated at the Chris Paul trade. It is phenomenal that you pulled it off. But I have to ask, Can you have a conversation with him and say, Suns don't flop? Can he win without the flopping? I can't stand flopping, James. Come on.
Man, if it's been working for him, I'm not going to tell him to change it. You know, he got to this level being who he is. We're not here to change Chris Paul. We're just here to put him in a position to have some fun and bring a lot of joy and excitement back to the Valley.
You know, leadership is so important, James. There's no doubt about it. In my 10 years playing in the National Football League, I look to other guys. I look to other guys to model myself after and watch what they did. You bring in Chris Paul into this locker room. I'm going to tell you right now, James, the first guy I thought of was DeAndre Ayton. I didn't even think of Devin Booker. I thought of DeAndre Ayton and Chris Paul's mentality and his intensity. What kind of impact do you think he'll have on DeAndre Ayton?
Tremendous. You know, DeAndre's never played with a player like Chris. He's never been this close to what I call superior excellence. And, you know, for us, we're always demanding more. We're always looking for ways to help DeAndre improve and grow. And he wants that. And in order for us to be a really good team, he has to continue on that arc. And so I know they'll spend a lot of time together. You know, Chris will teach him the ins and outs, the nuances of the game, the big man, point guard, center, combo, dynamic will help him. I mean, that dynamic will help him. I mean, because he's still young in his understanding of how to be effective in the NBA against NBA length and scheme. But, you know, I'm excited for him. It's going to be I'll probably say this will be the most fun he'll ever have as a player because we all know you're a football guy. You know, the tight ends love their quarterbacks. The receivers love their quarterbacks. And that's what you'll see with those two.
James Jones, general manager, Phoenix Suns. Last question is about Friday, is about Monday. Do you plan on doing heavy free agent listing? I know there's never in a million years are you going to talk to us who, and there's tampering rules and everything else, but do you plan on doing some heavy free agent listing, lifting, or more just puzzle pieces to drop in?
Well, this is a weird year, man. It's just tough all the way around. But for us, you know, it's still the same. You know, continue to stack the team, add guys that complement each other and that can have an impact and push us forward. And so I don't know what it looks like, but I know we'll be as active as we can. And the hope is to, you know, continue to build some depth on this roster because with this COVID season, 72 games and increased back-to-backs is going to be more important than ever to have quality depth.
James, I love the moves that you've made so far, man. Congratulations to you. God bless you. We'll talk to you down the road, okay?
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you, James. There's James Jones, general manager of the Phoenix Suns. No matter what you think, the man's got a conviction that a lot of other general managers, I don't know if they realize he's doing something dramatically different. Coming up next, DK versus Pat P on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Coming up in just a minute or two, Dave Wyman, the co-host of Wyman and Bob in 710 ESPN Seattle, because Dave is also the color analyst with the Seattle Seahawks, and we want to dive deep into that game. And the subject matter is really easy, and the subject matter is going to be DK Metcalf versus Patrick Peterson.
DK has been doing nothing but great things throughout his career. What he's, I think, like third in the league in reception yard and receiving yards right now with 800 plus yards. You know, just a tremendous talent.
So how's that matchup going to go? And just Russ versus his new protege nemesis? Yeah. That's coming up next. Thank you, Wolf. With Dave Wyman on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Because of our feelings about Seattle, let's start off this conversation with a bang, even though it's Wolf's friend, and I've never had a beer with Dave Wyman. But Dave has just called in on the Coulter Automotive Group sports line, and he thinks he's going to talk Seattle. But, Dave, who did the Supersonics draft last night? How did that go?
That is cold-blooded. I wake up early for you guys, and that's what I get. That is cold-blooded.
David, how you doing, man?
I'm good, man. Yeah, you know, last time, I liked it, the way it started off last time better.
Oh, yeah, I did.
The best analyst in the NFC West. Yeah, so that was better than...
I did build it. You know, it's so that means I owe you one the next time. We have so much to talk about with Seahawks, Cardinals, and Wolf has been on an interesting track lately, and I'm going to throw out the question. I won't tell you what he's been thinking. Who has more to lose tonight if they walk away with fewer points?
Yeah, the Seahawks do, I think. I mean, here's the thing that's so messed up about it is that, you know, for the Seahawks, and I'm just going to look at it, you know, selfishly, I don't really care about you guys after this game anyway.
Right.
But no, it's, you know, they can't play defense anymore. So when the offense has a power outage and Russ starts throwing interceptions, then, and he's on his second worst streak that he's ever had. You know, he had it back in, I want to say it was like 2015. He had a streak, I'm sorry, it was 16, a four-game streak where he threw 9. Well, right now, you know, he's on out of the last 4, he's thrown 7. So, you know, if he can't fix that, we have no chance of playing any defense because it's just so broken. And, you know, the thing is, it can be fixed, but I don't understand it. It's something I can't even – Pete Carroll said this after a game. He goes, I don't have any space for this in my mind. And that's how I feel about the defense because I feel like they have enough talent, but they're just not playing together. They're not hitting. They're not, like, doing the most fundamental things. So, yeah, I think it's the Seahawks.
Do you think the Seahawks are going to come out and try to run the ball? Because I'm terrified at this. Listen, I know you're not going to have Chris Carson, but Carlos Hyde, I love Carlos Hyde. He's still a physical runner. I love him in between the tackles. Do you think you guys come out and try to run the ball against an Arizona Cardinals defense that wasn't great to begin with in terms of stopping the run, and now all of a sudden that defensive line room is an absolute mess?
Yeah. Yeah, you brought that up on our show yesterday. Your guys' injury report, not good for the big guys inside. Got Pecco, I heard on the update there. But, yeah, you know, they don't really know if they can run the ball, you know, the way they want to. I mean, they have never had, not this year anyway, they haven't had a consistent running game going. And a lot of it's been because of the injuries. Look, Chris Carson is a very special player to me. Everybody up here just loves him. But he's just not going to be healthy, I don't think. I don't think he's going to get that big contract. But I really like Hyde, too, Wolf. I mean, I thought they just signed him because this year they were going to say, look, we're not running out of running backs this year. Because last year they ran out of running backs. And then now all of a sudden the same thing's going. But, yeah, I mean, Hyde's coming off of, you know, he's a veteran who's coming off his best year, over 1,000 in Houston. And he's looked really good, but he hasn't been able to stay healthy either. He had a hamstring, so... Yeah, I think they would like to do that. And I think Pete, deep down inside, still wants to run the ball. And now, especially with Russ having a streak of, you know, some errors that he's making, they really want to get it going. I just don't know if they can. We'll see if I think the center is not going to make it. Ethan Posick, the kid with the concussion. And then his backup, who had never started at center before, he got hurt. So there's a guy named Jamarco Jones, who's a really good player, and he might play at center. So, you know, I don't think it's the time to get it going. That's for sure without Chris Carson, but they'd like to do it.
This is Dave Wyman, co-host of Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN in Seattle, joining Doug and Wolf to talk Seahawks and Cardinals. Ever since the Russell Wilson draft pick, no matter how good or bad the team played last week, there was never a moment, and we hated seeing it as Cardinals fans, but there was never a moment where it felt like Seattle lacked confidence. For the first time since Russell Wilson was drafted, are the Seahawks lacking confidence?
In Russell or just in general?
In general, as an organization, as a team, even as a city right now. I know they still believe in Russ, but it just feels like from afar, this is the first time they're dealing with the fate of the rest of us in the NFL, that you're not always going to be great.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, too, because you know, there was this big push in the offseason, the whole let Russ cook thing. And, you know, everybody wanted him to do more. And now everybody's backing off and going, oh, maybe it's not such a great idea for, you know, Russ is throwing picks right and left. Maybe we should get the running game going. So, you know, there was national people saying, the one line was, that the Seahawks are actively subverting Russell Wilson. I'm like, my God, are you kidding me? You know, so they got him going, and now those same people are having those doubts, mm-hmm. you know, because when you're, you know, sort of on the fringe where your emotions go up and down and up and down when the wind blows, you know, that those are the kind of people that freak out. But I don't think anybody that has seen what Russ has been able to do, it's like he wills himself to, you know, throw zero interceptions. Now, I could be eating my words after tonight, but I'll bet you he doesn't throw an interception, and I'll bet you he has a very good game, because after he has these little clusters of interceptions and mistakes, he always follows it with really good performances. So, you know, as far as Russ goes, yeah, and then nobody has any faith in the defense at all. It is so weird to watch. Wolf, I don't know if you've watched, but like you look at like a guy like Bobby Wagner, and I'm just like, I don't know what he's doing. Mm. I mean, there was a play where he caught a block. The Rams, they're playing the Rams. It was Andrew Whitworth. Andrew Whitworth is like my age. And he blocked Bobby for 12 yards downfield.
Man.
So he takes him on. He backs up. He kind of retreats. And then he hops on the guy's back, and it's a 14-yard gain.
Yes.
And he gets a solo tackle. So, you know, those are the kinds of things that are happening that, you know, you just look at the defense and go, wow, why are two guys jumping the same guy in a zone? And, you know, and there's been lots of talk about Ken Norton, the D coordinator. And then Pete comes in and says, well, it's my defense. I'm in on the meetings and everything. So, but that's the part that is not giving anybody any confidence at all. Is the defense. It's broken right now.
I know. And it's so disconcerting to watch it, because that's the one thing you guys have always been up there, is a tough physical team. And it's so weird to watch it on tape. But I want to get to this quickly here. We only got a couple of minutes left. 64 first downs in this first game. 64 first downs and a total of almost 1,100 yards of offense. Do you expect a shootout again?
As long as the Seahawks defense keeps playing that way, yes, I do. Because I think Russ will match Kyler Murray, who is fantastic, by the way. But just as long as the defense continues to play like this, you know, not picking up deep crossers, catching blocks, not, you know, doing assignment. Yeah, I would see a similar type of shootout. Plus, that's just the way it's going in the NFL, Wolf, right now. I mean, you look at everybody scoring points. Nobody's calling. I see offensive linemen that are like, you know, downfield in some of these RPOs, like they're in like a deep hook zone and nobody's calling, you know, illegal linemen downfield. There's no holding call, anything. They're just letting them play. So, yeah, this looks to be like a shootout. If, you know, if the Seahawks defense plays that way, the way they have been, absolutely.
I can't believe I'm going to ask this, but Dave, just listening to you talk about the defense, your only fear should be Chicago, Minnesota, or Detroit. As ridiculous as that sounds. But I have to ask, do you feel like there's any chance the Seahawks aren't going to the playoffs?
No, I really don't. I mean, I for some reason, I think it will get fixed. I just think they need to be very real about, you know, who is playing well. And, you know, they need to start threatening guys to bench them. You know, to like, we're going to sit you down. And I don't care how much money you make. But I think on offense, they're talented enough to get to the playoffs. And, you know, just because DK Metcalf got shut down one game. So I'm trying not to overreact.
Right.
But again, you know, it's like Pete Carroll said, I don't have a space in my mind for anything else other than watching this defense. I want to see them be physical. They did it for three quarters this year, only three quarters against the San Francisco 49ers. They held them to, in three quarters, 116 yards. And then in the fourth quarter, they put back on the soft defense and gave up like 300 or something, but they still won. And so I'm waiting to see that defense. When that defense shows up, I'll have so much more confidence that these guys don't need to worry about some kind of a wild card or anything like that. Mm.
Dave, thank you so much. Love
Good
you,
talk.
Brother. Thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
You too, Wolf. Thanks for having me on. Thanks for coming on our show, too. Appreciate it, man.
Absolutely, buddy.
Good luck,
talk
you guys.
To you down the road, man.
Thank you. There's Dave Wyman. Good conversation. Co-host of Wyman and Bob, color analyst for the Seahawks on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Paul's Call is brought to you by Brooklyn Betting. For the best sleep ever, go to brooklynbetting.com.
Hey, it's your call, man.
Oh, no.
It's your call.
No, it's your call.
No, it's your call.
Hey, nitwits.
It's Paul's call.
I tell you what, Dave Wyman pausing after some of your questions, guys, that said it all. I mean, even his front row seat and his degree from Stanford can't resolve or explain a lot of what's going on with the Seattle Seahawks as we do a roundtable edition, a Thursday night football preview edition of Paul's Call here. For example, gentlemen, how about this one? The Seattle defense is so bad, Doug.
How bad is it, Paul?
So historically bad that they're on pace to give up more yards passing than the 2013 and 2014 Seahawks combined.
No way.
Think about that.
The heart of the Legion of Boom.
Yes, that was the prime years, the premier years of the Legion of Boom. That's how bad this iteration, the 2020 Seahawks, are. In fact, through eight games, they had allowed nearly 2,900 passing yards. That's the most ever in NFL history through nine games. Whoa. In eight games, they've given up more passing yards than anyone had ever given up in nine games. That's how bad. And now they're missing their starting corners, maybe their top three corners. So what is going to happen in this game? I mean, you look when Kyler Murray, I'm just looking at some of these numbers, okay, while I was getting I'm over here and I'm looking. Do you realize, I know Kyler Murray has the 10 rushing touchdowns and that leads the NFL. We get all that. He's run for 39 first downs this year.
Wow.
That's tied for fourth in the NFL. Not among quarterbacks. That's just rushing first downs. Kyler Murray.
Unbelievable, 39. Paul. Man, honestly, well, you're talking about the number one team in the league at creating first downs.
So we talk about come for the arm, stay for the legs.
Yes.
Pete Carroll has got to be real concerned. In fact, looking at some of the Seattle media stuff, he was saying, you know what, our first time around, we played low risk. That was the term that Pete Carroll used in talking about their game plan the first time around.
Did he mean offensively or defensively?
Defensively. They said they played low risk against Kyler, and that this is Pete Carroll now, that he should have implored Ken Norton Jr., the defensive coordinator, to blitz more, to force Kyler's hand more. And he said, and then Ken Norton said, you know, we did learn a lot playing him the first time. And so all indications are that Seattle defensively is prepared to go high risk, high reward. And we'll see how that risk reward does, because right now they're allowing 448 yards per game, which is the most in the Super Bowl era when you talk about total defense. And once again, how historically bad Seattle is.
Paulie, I think immediately of the Miami Dolphins. And every time the Arizona Cardinals got in four wide, every time they went five with an empty set, how they went ahead and they blitz bailed and went cover zero. You watch, Paul. The Seattle Seahawks are just going to say, you know what, we're going to give up 80 yards. We're going to give it up right here on this play.
And then, if you want bad, let's flip over to the other side of the ball for Seattle. And Russell Wilson has not been the same. He has not been the same since the second half and overtime. And we joked earlier in the week, to begin the week, that maybe it's the Jake Delhomme effect all over again. Will Russell ever be the same? Because the Cardinals, once upon a time in a playoff game against Carolina, ruined a Pro Bowl season for Jake Delhomme, and he never was the same quarterback. Now, it's not going to be that bad, but it's bad enough that Pete Carroll said that he talked with Russell Wilson for a long time this week, and he told him, you got to take the basics. You got to take what the defense is giving you, and you got to be more decisive on your reads. So when he has an opportunity to run, he's got to take it. And instead, Pete Carroll explained that he's trying to think to himself, well, what else can I get? How can I maximize this play? And that's how he's throwing these interceptions in the end zone instead of just pulling it and running it for the first down. And then he added, I'm reminding Russell that he's a great player. So are you telling me, Russell Wilson, that he's lacking in confidence right now? And if you come out of the gates and you pick up where you left off in second half and overtime in the Sunday night game, and maybe you get a pick, and maybe you get to him, because guess what? He just got sacked six times, a season high, against the Rams. He had a passer rating of 57 even. That's a season low. He only completed 59% of his passes, a season low, for 6.7 yards an attempt. He had zero touchdown passes and two picks. So if you come out and you pick up where you left off and where the Rams left off, it sounds like Russell Wilson's having a bit of a crisis of confidence right now.
Totally agree. And I'm also wondering with him is, it, does he feel like he's got to do that? So if it gets worse, I don't think he saves himself like in the second or third quarter. If the Cardinals get out fast offensively, I think it's even going to be more interceptions by him, because I think some of them are because, exactly as you said, he's trying to save the defense offensively, which you cannot do.
On the other hand, he's 8-1 all time on Thursday night.
Yeah.
On the other hand, he's 30.
He might be a Hall of Famer.
He's 32-9 following a loss in his career. 32-9. He's never lost three in a row.
Uh-oh.
So, I mean, there's a TikTok right there.
Yeah,
Dave Wyman talked
TikTok.
A little bit about that they're expecting him to respond accordingly. And Pete Carroll did say, and I'm quoting now, that Russell has been, quote, busting his ass all week to clean up all his mistakes. So, you know, there's also that fear factor, obviously, because we've all seen what Russell Wilson has done at times against the Arizona Cardinals. So I'm not sure which guy to expect tonight, but when they're down to their third-string center, it looks like, and they already have a bad offensive line. That's one thing that John Schneider has never been able to figure out basically for the last decade. He keeps hitting the reset button on the Seahawks offensive line. And
well, the Cardinals' offensive line has been bad too, pal.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and
you know I'm joking.
No,
I
absolutely.
Mean, come on.
And then you look at some of the names on the Cardinals' defensive line. I like your point, Wolf. I you know, take some pressure off Russ, exploit the Cardinals' weakness and their depleted defensive line.
Yes.
You come out and you feed Carlos Hyde.
Yes. And, oh, by the way, we're controlling the ball. And, look, there's Kyler Murray. He's over on the sideline.
Listening to all this, though, we're almost at the point where you call this a must-win, not because you need it in the division, but because Seattle's not good.
It's a should win.
How weird is that?
I mean, you go to Seattle and you're categorizing it as a should win. You look at all these numbers and how bad their defense is and how bad Russell Wilson is playing. It's a should win, and maybe you should win by double digits.
Think about it. If it was any other team, we'd be saying they've got to go take advantage of this situation.
Right, and also, guys, think about that. Think about the fact that this has been the personality of this team all year long. Can you imagine if they do believe this is a should win? Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. Uh-oh is right.
How did the show make you feel?
Woo!
Doug and Wolf's.
The U. It's all about the U. It's all about
the U. Brought to you by Carol Royce Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Get more money selling your home. Go to CarolHasTheBuyers.com. That's CarolHasTheBuyers.com.
My big takeaway from today's show is James Jones saying you better make a decision on whether or not the NBA is a developmental league or not.
The Seahawks defense is to 2020 what the Cardinals offense was to 2018. We all remember that. You realize 30 more yards, total yards by the Cardinals offense, and they'll have more yards than the 2018 Arizona Cardinals.
With James Jones, it's all about fit, peace, and strength.